I'm Raphael Harpaz. I'm with the CDC, and this morning we're going to be having a session entitled Herpes Zoster, Challenges of Surveillance, Challenges of Vaccination. We have three great speakers this morning. Two of them are going to be speaking about barriers to vaccination. One of them is going to be speaking about zoster surveillance. And so I'm going to speak for 5 or 6 minutes to provide some context. So zoster is a pain syndrome. That's the outcome we're really trying to prevent. There are about 1 million cases annually, and the key risk factors are age and immunosuppression. The lifetime risk is about 30%, but we don't really know why 30% of folks get zoster and the other 70% of people do not get zoster. Regarding the vaccine, it's about 51% efficacious against zoster, about 67% efficacious against postherpetic neuralgia. The vaccine efficacy declines by three to four fold from the youngest to the oldest vaccinees. However, we don't really know very much about other risk factors for vaccine failure. It's a single dose vaccine and it requires freezer storage. Regarding the target population, it's folks over 60, and that's 55 million people and growing. And also there's marked heterogeneity in that population. This is one of my favorite slides. It's a great illustration of the physiologic and medical heterogeneity in this population, and it dwarfs that in other groups, in pediatrics, for instance. Since we don't really know what factors distinguish who gets zoster from who doesn't, who gets an immunological boost from the vaccine, who gets the vaccine from who doesn't, who's at risk of adverse reactions from who is not. This heterogeneity is really important because it can introduce a lot of unmeasured confounders into our analyses and to our monitoring activities, so data interpretation could be really challenging. Moving on to cost and reimbursement, the catalog price is $150, which is 5 to 10 times that of pneumococcal vaccine or influenza vaccine, and the retail price is $200 to $300. Coverage and reimbursement can be through Medicare Part D. There are about 27 million folks over 65 years old who are in that plan. Then there's private insurance, folks 60 to 64, and also there are about 9 million people over 65 who have private insurance. They're the working or retirees with secondary private insurance beyond Medicare. Then there's the VA, there's other Medicare programs, there's the Merck Patient Assistance Program, and there's health departments. I want to mention that there is about 60,000 pharmacies around the country, and about they're able to give vaccines in about 40 states. They're able to give zoster vaccines specifically in about 40 states. I want to talk a little more about Medicare Part D because that's going to be coming up in the talks and it's quite complex. The relationship of the drug plans is with the pharmacies, not with physicians. Therefore, vaccination by doctors usually entails the patient paying upfront and then filing a claim to their Medicare Part D plan, or having the physician refer the patient to the pharmacy and purchase and having the vaccination over there, or having the physician refer the patient to the pharmacy to purchase the vaccine and bring it back to the physician. That's called brown bagging, and we frown on that. Then there's deputizing the physician as a Part D provider, as a pharmacy, if you will, through a system, a mechanism called e-dispense. We could talk about that later. Wherever you get the vaccine, whether it's at the pharmacy or at the physician's office or otherwise, there are going to be deductibles, copays, covered the notorious donut hole, and that typically amounts just to basic copays, basic typically amounts to $20 to $60. Then there's commercial insurance, and we presume that the copays are comparable with those in Medicare Part D. So there are a lot of challenges to enabling vaccination. There's the supply shortages, which are now happily resolved. There's provider barriers. There's a lack of awareness, upfront cost, the complexities of reimbursement, storage and handling issues. There's the patient barriers, the lack of awareness, the financial barriers. Just locating the vaccine itself is a challenge. Then there's the health department barriers. There's not enough people, time, or money to make everything a priority. And of course, there's the shared barriers that for all of the above, our system simply doesn't accommodate adult vaccines very well. So what are the roles that health departments can play in this process? Well, there is direct provision of zoster vaccination services. There's opportunities to leverage resources. One can become a Medicare Part D provider through that e-dispense process. One can contract with Part D providers like pharmacies and public clinics and other entities. One can inquire about Merck Patient Assistance Program. It's important to try, if you can, to bundle zoster vaccination services with other adult prevention services and vaccines. The other role that health departments can play is to coordinate zoster vaccination services, to engage with local areas, area agencies on aging. They know the lay of the land, they know the senior centers, they know the Meals on Wheels, etc. Referring to local zoster vaccinators like pharmacies and so forth, coordinating vaccine clinics with other partners, and also, of course, including zoster vaccine on registries so the documentation will come back to the medical home. Another role that health departments can play is public awareness, education, promotion. On the provider side, there's also awareness and education, and that can include alerting physicians in the community to the ways of dealing with their financial barriers or regarding local resources and vaccinators. And for all of the above, the partnerships are key for all of them. There's the state pharmacy associations, there's pharmacy clinics, there's the area agencies on aging, the state units on aging, medical groups, commercial vaccinators, and so forth. Moving to monitoring zoster impact, that's surveillance. There are a lot of challenges there too. It's very difficult to make zoster reportable, and so CSDE accordingly and appropriately did not express interest in such measures. And the other major challenge is that it's very difficult to monitor the outcome of greatest interest, which is pain, severity and duration of pain. So with that, we're going to move on. I'm leaving my name over here. Anyone who wants to discuss the surveillance issues or the delivery issues and discuss opportunities and options, I welcome you to email me. And with that, we're going to move on to our presenters. We're delighted to have Christina Jackson, who's going to talk about descriptive epidemiology of adult herpes zoster and post-herpetic neuralgia from an active surveillance project. Then we have Dr. Laura Hurley, who's going to be discussing herpes zoster vaccine, what is interfering with uptake. We're going to have Dr. LJ Tan discussing herpes zoster vaccination key challenges. And then all of you will be providing questions and discussion.